1340 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Stocks closed up today as the Fed signaled interest rate cuts could be coming. How low will they go? CBS News business reporter Jason Brooks.
Current Wall Street odds are pricing in as many as 4 quarter-point cuts before the end of this year.
The Dow closed up more than 460 points. Known mostly for his anti-vax stance, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is suspending his presidential campaign and offering his endorsement.
To throw my support to President Trump. The causes were free speech, the war in Ukraine, and the war on our children.
Meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky, India's prime minister, says he wants to help bring peace to Ukraine.
I think that India began to recognize that this is not just conflict, it's real war of one man, and his name is Putin.
Modi visited Russia last month and told Russia's president's problems cannot be solved on the battlefield. CBS News Brief.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic National Convention is over. Now, what's next?
The next thing that happens is that moments from this convention turn into viral videos, turn into ads that are run on TV. People will be reminded of the highs of this convention all the way through the time the polls close.
Wisconsin Democratic Chair Ben Wickler says the hard work of knocking on doors and getting out the vote ramps up in earnest. 4 hotel security guards charged with killing a man in downtown Milwaukee this summer are pleading not guilty. Todd Erickson, Brandon Turner, Herbert Williamson, and Devin Johnson Carson were in court yesterday. They face felony murder charges in the death of Devontae Mitchell. Prosecutors say they held Mitchell down and suffocated him. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Grand Rapids Fire Department has a new drone. News 9 reports the drone was completely donor-funded. It has infrared and heat-sensing technology that can assist in rescue operations. The drone will help firefighters during a wildfire to tell where hotspots are located and can even detect a person's heat signature from several miles away. The land that had previously hosted Country Jam every year has been listed for sale. It's being sold in two parts, with over 100 acres available in total. The main portion of the land, that includes the stages and main festival, is listed at $1 million for more than 80 acres of land. The other lot of over 20 acres is listed at $500,000. The land is being sold in two pieces because the larger portion of it sits in a floodplain, which means nothing can be built on it by new owners. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Packers and the Ravens. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers and Ravens held their joint practice session yesterday. Tomorrow, the two teams square off at noon at Lambeau Field for a final preseason game. So what's it like facing the Ravens quarterback and last year's MVP, Lamar Jackson? Packers defensive back, Jair Alexander.
Lamar's a hell of a competitor, as we all know. It's just good to see him out there running around. I thought he tried to juke me one time. He almost got me, but thank God he didn't. But I think our defense flew around today, and I think we looked much better from last week.
Baseball. The Brewers shut out 3-0 by the Cardinals. St. Louis winning the series 2-1. Brewers reliever Nick Mears gave up all 3 runs in a disastrous 7th inning. Pat Murphy.
Soft line drive at short, and then the other base hit. We had the guy picked off, and our people say he was out, but he didn't put the ball where he wanted to, didn't stay ahead in the count. Walked somebody with the bases loaded, and that's just unacceptable.
The Brewers in Oakland tonight against the A's. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join our advertising family on WFHR WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Join James and Southwood County Humane Society for Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Stay up to date on needs, events, and available pets. Over 100 pets have been adopted thanks to area sponsors. To learn how to help, call Ashley at 715-496-0710.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the low 60s. Mostly sunny, warmer, and more humid tomorrow, a high in the mid-80s. Slight storm chance Saturday night. Sunny, hot, and humid, high upper 80s to 90 Sunday. Hot and humid again on Monday. Storms Monday night.
Right now it's 80.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure. Down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday, August 30th. The Badgers kick off the season against Western Michigan. Our coverage begins at 6 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
If the critique, if the beef of Tim Walz is that he spent money on children, on what they needed, whether that be universal meals or whether that be, you know, record amounts for a state to invest in early childhood development, I am like, man, you are critiquing this guy and making him even more my hero.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, Todd Albaugh. Join us next time as we are back in Wisconsin after covering the DNC. We'll look back at the news of the weekend and get you ready for the last week in August. Badger football coming up.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, August 23rd, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with Ronald Rasmussen, superintendent of the Wisconsin Rapids Public School Systems. Right now, though, in studio, we have with us our good friend, Jennifer Clark, community health educator with Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Jennifer and I are going to talk a little bit about Fall Prevention Month, a great program, Stepping On, that you guys have coming up, and some other stuff. But, Jennifer, before we get going, how are things going at the EDRC? How are our friends doing over there?
Good. Yeah, we're busy. Mm-hmm. Yep, we're getting gearing up for the fall, even though I'm a little sad about that. Right?
Yeah.
Summer's coming to an end.
Yeah. It can be a little rough. Jennifer, I know the voice is a little rough. If you can get closer to the mic, thank you so much. I want to make sure that people hear this and really understand, as we're getting ready to go into fall, how important it is to be aware of this and not only fall prevention, but I think something that has occurred to me over the years we've been talking about this subject and everything is, as I get older, being more aware of these things myself. I might not be at that age just yet, but before I know it, it'll be there. And it's been helping me not only learning from you and talking to the ADRC about this subject, but even watching my dad or my papa, my grandpa, you know, these individuals and how they are. It's something that you always in the back of your mind, not a bad thing to be kind of making these mental notes about.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of times we think of older adults having falls, right? But I feel like everybody falls at some point. And
yeah,
it's just how quickly can we get back up and without injury and all those good things. So, yeah.
So September is Fall Prevention Awareness Month. You guys have a theme this year.
Yep. So the theme this year is Age with Confidence, Prevent Falls. And I think this is really important because it really brings light to the topic of falls, and that falls are that prevention of falls is possible. A lot of times people think that falling is just a natural part of aging. I fall because I'm getting older, and that's just what older people do. But that's really not true. And there are things that we can do to prevent falls from happening. And a lot of times they're easy things, right? Easy things, simple home modifications that we can do, or even a change of medications that could help.
You know, those are all really key things to this, and not necessarily common knowledge, not necessarily right. Things that when we think about this. I think when we think about falling or we think about falls, we immediately think of, you know, how we are when we're young and how we brace for a fall or some of these things. And we kind of use that as our kind of basis for how we will handle this when they happen.
Right.
And all knowing that we can't plan these things. You know what? I'm going to fall at 3 today.
Yeah.
You can't plan these things. And oftentimes, if you haven't been experiencing falling or having a lot of falls as you get older, you have this memory of when I was in my 20s or 30s, how I handled this. And it's a very different ball game at your 50s and 60s, how you handle this.
Right.
So I think the one of the things that always I come back to on this subject, too, is how while this can be prevented and it can be something that we can work around and everything, that everybody does fall. And I just mentioned people in their teens, their 20s, their 30s. Mm-hmm. This is something that I don't think anybody should necessarily get too angry at themselves about. One of the things that I noticed with my grandparents that really hurt me, it wasn't just that they fell. It was how they affected them mentally,
right,
and their mental health and how much they, you know, these are some of the strongest people I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. And seeing the matriarch of our family needing help getting up. And it wasn't that she was hurt. She was hurt emotionally,
yeah,
by
absolutely.
It and everything.
Yep.
So that is one of the things certainly noteworthy about this. And there are some other common myths when it comes to fall prevention, too, the idea of that. Do you mind if we kind of dive into that a little bit, Jennifer?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So what are some of the myths that are more of the common myths that people think of when they think of this subject?
Yeah, so one big one that I can think of is I can't gain muscle strength or improve my balance once it's lost. A lot of times people think, oh, you know, once it's gone, I can't ever improve it. And the fact is that it's never too late to start practicing balance and strength exercises. Again, most people don't realize that with regular practice, you can build those things back. It does take some work, right? It doesn't come easy, but it could be something as simple as incorporating a few different exercises into your daily routine. So I just think of how easy it is when we're sitting in front of the television.
Yes.
For instance, you know, getting up during our commercial breaks, maybe doing some sit to stands. I know I've done things while I'm brushing my teeth, you know, heel to toe raises just to strengthen calf muscles, side leg raises while I'm doing that, dishes. You know, there's just different ways that we can incorporate those exercises. And even a little bit goes a long way.
My dad, when I was young, he's a former athlete, and we've been working out since I was 9 or 10 years old. And one of the things he taught me when I was really little, I can't remember the name of the muscle, but there's a muscle on your upper arm here that if you develop, even if you go 20 years without working out, you work out for a little bit, that muscle pops right back up. Mm-hmm. Your muscles are like that, and they're just sitting there waiting for you to be strengthened again and everything. And you don't have to necessarily be, you know, in Arnold Schwarzenegger shape. You just got to be in a little bit of better, healthier shape and what is best for you and your body.
And I think everybody's heard that phrase, right? If you don't use it, you lose it. And it's so true when we talk about strength balance as it relates to falls. You know, if you're not using those muscles regularly, they do deteriorate over time, and we do have to build them back up again. So. Mm-hmm.
What's another one, Jennifer?
So another one is the medications I take don't have anything to do with my risk of falling. Mm. This is actually a huge, huge topic as it relates to falls. So the fact is not only do prescription medications play a role, but a lot of times we don't think about how, you know, the over-the-counter medications, the supplements can also play or have side effects or interactions with our medications and increase our risk for falling. Studies actually show that individuals who are on 4 or more medications are at a significantly higher risk. So just making sure that you're talking to your provider about your medications. I have encountered a lot of people that when asked, you know, why are you taking this medication, they just don't know. Mm. And so, you know, making sure that you're understanding your medications, why you're taking them. Pharmacists are a great resource. We don't often utilize them enough.
Mm-hmm.
So just talking to your pharmacist about, you know, what you're taking, maybe the side effects that you're experiencing, and having them communicate with the doctor about that.
Not very proud of this, but to own this for the audience and to give an example like we like to do around here, I'm currently on some antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And I've taken antibiotics my whole life, and I've never really thought too much about it, and I certainly never thought about side effects of antibiotics. I figure, oh, these things are here to help me.
Right.
I don't really, there's probably no side effects of this, but the pharmacist comes by yesterday and told me, hey, there is nausea, there is, you know, a balance, dizziness, you can be sick to your stomach sometimes. Some antibiotics can cause some of these things. And sure enough, I'm dealing with some of these side effects from it. And I know that I've dealt with them before from antibiotics, but I never really thought much about the medication and how it affects me.
Yeah.
We oftentimes take the medication because we need to, or, oh, we take it 2 times every 6 hours or something like that. And we don't think too much about those side effects. Talking to your pharmacist, talking to your doctor about this stuff, and maybe even more importantly than that, listening to them when they're talking to you.
Yeah.
It can go a long way with that information and helping you hopefully stay a little healthier and more upright.
And the other thing, too, I just want to mention is, like, over time, as our bodies, as we get older, we process medications differently, and we forget that, too. So maybe a medication that I was on 10 years ago didn't have, you know, I didn't have side effects. And now, you know, looking at that medication, now it's causing some dizziness or lightheadedness, and it's just all because our body and how we process those medications.
So, that's a good one. I hadn't thought of that either. Do you have any others for you, Jennifer?
Let's see. Sometimes, you know, one myth is I am more likely to fall outside, so I should just stay home.
Yeah.
And despite our lovely Wisconsin winters, most falls actually happen at home, inside. So while it might be tempting to stay at home, making sure that we're continuing to get out and about will help with that mobility, you know, staying mobile, and then reducing your risk for falling. And there's also that that risk of social isolation, or that social isolation component as well. So it's important to get out and continue to socialize with friends and family, continue to do the things that you enjoy doing. And again, that'll keep you, you know, healthier as well.
You know, Jennifer, if you don't mind, you gave us a handful of these, and you mentioned that one, and I feel like it ties into another one very well that I really wanted to touch on, that the myth of using a cane or a walker will reduce my independence. Yes. I went through this with my dad. My dad is a stubborn Italian, and I love him to death, and I love our family and our people and everything, but my God, sometimes it could be really frustrating when I just want him to do this one thing, just use this walker, use this cane to better his life, and so he can have actually more independence and more freedom. But for him, I don't mean to other people, but to him, when he looked in the mirror, it was, well, this isn't me, or this this holds me back, or it makes me look a certain way or something. And I had to tell him right away, I'm like, Dad, you look really cool with that cane. Honestly, like, not that that's a part of this, but just, you know, for a side note there, I think it actually looks pretty cool, man. You're rocking that thing. I think that these things are what you make them.
Right.
You know, if you're young and you have to wear glasses and you feel like, oh, this makes me look weird or whatever, find a style you like. Find some that work for you and enhance you and you really are proud to wear. It's not that different than a walker, a cane, something like this. These are good things. These are things that add to your life, your better life. And again, I think that especially as younger generations are getting older, they're realizing more and more of this. And so much more of this is, well, that's part of life. And that's okay. We're happier to see you with these items than without.
Right. And the alternative, right? It's better than having a fall. I have to share this because I just think it's so funny because we're talking about canes. But we had a volunteer actually that led one of our Stepping On programs. And she had a different color cane for every outfit that she owned.
That.
And so every day her cane changed, and you would be amazed at how many different, you know, cane options are out there and patterns and styles. And so, if you have them, using them, they help improve stability. And also remembering to use them correctly. I think that's the other thing with assistive devices. So often we see people not using them correctly. So if you're going to use them, connecting with a physical therapist that can kind of help walk through, you know, what is this at the right height? Is it in the right hand? So often we see people with their canes in the wrong hand, or they're kind of slouched over their walkers and not upright. So just making sure that when you're using those, that you're using them.
And very similar to what we were saying about a pharmacist or your doctor, when you're talking to the physical therapist, when you're talking to somebody, really, really be listening and engaged. Right. They're only trying to help you use these items to the best of your ability. I think it's such a good point, too, because, like, not to keep using these examples, but my father, he has his right hip is bad, and he's using the cane on the left side. That's not going to help him that much. He needs it on the right side. But when you're doing that, you can also sometimes, like, if you're not using your balance right, you can kind of, like, put too much weight or too much on the other side or drag. You know, there's a way to do this
kind
where
of overcompensate. Right?
Yes, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, the more proper you use these, the better they'll be for you.
Right. Yep. And so often you hear people with, you know, back issues and things like that. So making sure that when you're using those walkers, you're upright, right? Like you have them.
You said that, and I immediately had some individuals pop in my head, and I had seen do that, and like that never seemed right to me. That does that. Yeah, makes sense that if you have the walker up higher, you're not going to have to be as hunched over. Yeah, just these little things that can help you so much with these items, yeah, with these devices. You know, one other thing that does stand out to me about your list, Jennifer, is the idea of number 6, that it won't happen to me, I won't fall.
Yeah.
Boy, is that my dad. And especially in a former athlete that, yeah, that really believes in his agility, his balance, really believes that, well, I was a hockey player. I fell all the time. I can handle a fall. Some of those things that not only understanding how our bodies age differently, but how so much of that is memory balance. It's memory based, physical memory based. You hear about this with football players all the time. You could have a guy that's played for 7 years, but he needs that training camp to get his body used to taking hits and stuff. Mm-hmm. When you're an athlete and you don't have that for 10, 20 years, your body gets used to not taking those things. So you're just like the rest of us in a lot of ways.
Right.
Your body may bounce back from some stuff a little bit better eventually. But the idea of that is it's important to relearn these things. And honestly, hopefully you never do fall. We're hoping you don't. But just like break glass in case of need, hopefully you never have to break the glass. But it is good to know it's there.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So falls can happen to anyone. All it takes is once, you know, a missed step, a turn up of a rug, or even a side effect of a new medication. So like you said, it can happen in an instant. It can happen, you know, when you're out in the community, at home. And studies also show that, you know, if you've fallen once, you're twice as likely to fall again. So just making sure that you're learning those risk factors for falls, taking those steps to prevent them so that doesn't happen.
That's a really good stat there, Jennifer. Would you mind touching on that one more time? Because that really hit me. I got to imagine the audience too.
Yep. So studies show that if you fall once, you're twice as likely to fall again.
Yeah.
And just even that fear of falling puts you at an increased risk as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We're speaking with Jennifer Clark from the ADRC of Central Wisconsin. Jennifer, were there any other myths you wanted to touch on, or should we move on to the Stepping On class?
Yeah, let's talk about the Stepping On program.
Yeah, this is a great program you guys have offered for a long time. Let's let the audience know more about this.
Yeah, so we will be offering, it's called Better Your Balance with Stepping On. You'll hear from, so it's a great program. It's 7 weeks long. Community-based program. We bring in a variety of different guest experts throughout the 7 weeks, so individuals have an opportunity to work directly with a physical therapist on some of the very things that we just talked about: strength and balance exercises, getting up from a fall, you know, what happens if I do fall, how do I get back up again. They cover a lot about cane and walkers, looking at, are we using them correctly? When should we use them? When do we know it's time to use them? And then just even navigating out and about in the community. We don't often think about falls happening in parking lots, grassy surfaces, you know, anything that you're, you know, navigating out in the community. We work with a pharmacist that comes in and talks about medications. So what are those medications that put us at a higher risk, or what are some of those side effects with multiple medications that people are on? We bring in a vision specialist, an optometrist, to talk about some of those eye-related conditions. Often we don't think of our eyes and ears as a fall risk.
Wow,
but as people age, you know, you think of those eye-related conditions like glaucoma or cataracts and how those can play a role. And then we do bring in someone from the fire department as well, and they just talk more so about what are they seeing out in the community? How do we maintain safety when we're out and about in the community? And they always kind of touch on what they see in the fire department as well, because a lot of their calls, unfortunately, do relate back to falls as well, whether it's picking someone up after they've fallen or transporting them because of a fall. So just a lot of different topics. We talk about in-home safety, footwear, all of those things. So it's very multifactorial. We're going to be having it on Fridays, starting November 1st through December 20th. It is 9:30 to 11:30. And I should also mention, we are skipping the week of Thanksgiving.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Good call.
So we extended it 1 week, but it'll be held at the Southwood County YMCA. And it's important to know that that program is open to non-Y members as well. So we're having it there. Y members, non-Y members are also welcome. So
that really works out For you guys, being in not the same building, but a similar building, not too far to go for that. Yeah. And it gets people to our Y. That's a wonderful thing to be able to do. And a shout out to our Southwood County YMCA for being able to host something like this. Is pre-registration important for this? Should people pre-register?
Yeah, it is. With this program, we have seen quite significant numbers of people looking to take the program, which is amazing. But pre-registration is required, so we can take about 15 people. We kind of have to cap it off there. But feel free to give us a call. It is free. Contributions are always welcome for just kind of offsetting some of the program costs. But it is free. Yeah, it's a great program.
If somebody is not able to take every class, are they still able to take the course? Are they still able to be a part of things?
That's a great question. So really with this program, it kind of each of the classes sessions kind of build on one another. And so we do, if you're going to sign up for the program, you are committing to the full 7 weeks.
And if people do want to pre-register, how can they do that, Jennifer?
Yep, they can give our ADRC office a call, 888-486-9545. You can also jump on our website as well, which is www.adrccw.org. I don't believe you can register on our website, but you can find out more information if you're interested in knowing just more about the Stepping On program itself or others that are happening across the region. So.
And we encourage you to reach out to the ADRC, whether through their website or social media, to not only find out more about the Stepping On class that, again, begins November 1st, but also so many other great things that our ADRC offers to our community. And the volunteer opportunity, to me, is one of the greater things that the ADRC has. I cannot think of a better volunteer opportunity in our community, or really in general, than Meals on Wheels. Because of, obviously, the importance of that meal and getting to that person, and things that we've talked about quite a bit as far as sometimes you can be that person's one contact or one time being interacting with somebody, the friendship that can be created from that. We've talked about a lot of these things that are a part of it. I want to focus as well, though, on the individual, the volunteer themselves, and how rewarding this is for you and them. And I've mentioned many times that I did this back in California. That was like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I still have those memories fresh in my brain. I still remember those individuals. I miss those individuals. I tried to actually contact a gentleman a while back. He unfortunately passed away. Okay. But it all the more made it home to me, like, wow, I got to be a part of his life in his last years. What an honor that is. That humbled the daylights out of me.
Yeah.
Just those kind of interactions are just as beneficial for the volunteer themselves as it is for the individual.
That is so true. Yeah. Yep. Impacts in volunteering. There's so many health impacts. Yep.
We talk a lot about mental health nowadays, and I think we do a really good job on that subject as a society. It's important to be able to take some of these things to home, too, and to work on yourself with some of this stuff. And if you are looking to give yourself a gift, this is it. This is one of them. Volunteering and being a part of Meals on Wheels. I put my name on this. You volunteer for this, and you are going to be rewarded. You are going to feel good from doing this. There are not many things that give a jump start to the mental health like volunteering does. Yep. And there are other opportunities with Meals on Wheels and the ADRC as far as volunteering. Keep in mind that the ADRC will work with you and your schedule on Meals on Wheels. So there's almost nobody that couldn't fit this in, or they wouldn't work with you on a schedule. Find out more about that and the Stepping On class and reaching out to our friends at the ADRC with any of the needs you might have. Jennifer, if people do want to reach out to you specifically and have follow-up questions, how can they do that?
Yep. Again, you can call our 800 number. Feel free to always do that. They can connect you directly with me. Otherwise, I do have an office phone number as well, 715-261-6064, which connects you directly to me as well.
And keep in mind that number that Jennifer mentioned, 1-888-486-9545. That's 888-486-9545. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great way to keep up to date on what they're doing over there. And go find out more and bookmark their webpage, adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know the fairgrounds in Marshfield have been in use since the mid-1800s when the site hosted a horse-driving park? The idea for the fair started on the streets of Marshfield in the early 1900s, not long after an association formed to sell memberships as a way of financing the conversion of the horse-driving park to a new permanent fair site. The first building on the grounds, the world's largest round barn, still in use more than 100 years later. Take a peek at the unique structure, catch 4-H'ers in action, food and games, and purchase a grandstand entertainment ticket, and your admission to the fair is free. And you're invited to the Civic Media Truth Booth, a chance to share your thoughts about the fair, living in the Marshfield area, and more. Plus, sign up for your local newsletter for more real news and great conversation. The Central Wisconsin State Fair runs through Sunday, August 25th. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson's Democratic National Convention speech this week is stoking speculation about a job for him in a Kamala Harris administration.
I hear that from everybody else except for the Harris folks, so.
Johnson has been Milwaukee's mayor since 2021.
I'm very happy as mayor of our city. I think there's plenty of opportunity in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin.
On stage at the DNC, Johnson talked about how the bipartisan infrastructure law is revitalizing black neighborhoods. A labor dispute in Canada is stopping railroads that serve Wisconsin. The Canadian National and Canadian Pacific Kansas City Southern Railroads are locking out workers this week. The railroads carry agricultural, manufacturing, and industrial freight. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The female lynx at Wildwood Zoo has died. The Marshfield Wildwood Zoo announces the passing of Lexi, the female lynx. She was 19 and a half years old and considered to be a geriatric cat. Lexi had started to become uninterested in food and acting oddly. The zoo staff performed an exam under anesthesia, and Lexi was visibly struggling. The staff made the difficult decision to euthanize her as a quality of life decision. Lexi had several pre-existing conditions, including a heart murmur, diabetes, kidney disease, and arthritis. The beloved lynx will be missed for her independent spirit and tenacity. Members of VFW Post 2534 will be distributing Buddy Poppies today and tomorrow throughout Wisconsin Rapids. You'll find them at various businesses in the city. Donations help veterans or their dependents throughout the nation. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Conan O'Brien as a sex worker? Who hasn't pictured that? On his Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast, the former talk show host sat down with actor Walton Goggins, who stars in the new season of White Lotus. During their conversation, Conan said that last year while in Bangkok, he ran into White Lotus creator Mike White and pitched himself as a gigolo in the show's new season. Goggins said he could see O'Brien playing a gigolo and actually being a gigolo in real life, all while keeping a straight face. Good actor. The third season of White Lotus premieres on Max in 2025. Well, it's happened. After months of denying their marriage was in trouble and moving out of their $60 million crib, it's official. Jennifer Lopez has filed for divorce from husband Ben Affleck 2 years to the day after their big wedding celebration in 2022. Now she's Jenny from a different block. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the low 60s. Mostly sunny, warmer, and more humid tomorrow, a high in the mid-80s. Slight storm chance Saturday night. Sunny, hot, and humid, high upper 80s to 90 Sunday. Hot and humid again on Monday, storms Monday night. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Getting your start in farming is a big lift requiring a lot of resources. The new Starting Gate program from Ag Country Farm Credit Services is here for you. Starting Gate offers preferential rates and custom financing, discounts on financial services, scholarships, and educational opportunities. To learn how Starting Gate can help you, contact your local Ag Country office. Ag Country. Focused on ag. Focused on you.
Law enforcement across Wisconsin is speaking out in support of Tammy Baldwin for U.S. Senate. Listen to Sheriff Kurt Fell of Rock County.
Every day we battle illegal drugs coming into our community, and we know the attacks on Tammy Baldwin are not true.
Sheriff Jeff Scatroot of Greene County.
Tammy's working with law enforcement to stop the flow of fentanyl.
And Sheriff Calvin Barrett of Dane County.
She brought Democrats and Republicans together to crack down on the drugs coming from China and Mexico, giving us more tools to fight drug smugglers.
It's Tammy Baldwin who stood with the Border Patrol on border security. She supported the strongest border security bill in decades.
And Tammy voted 32 times to strengthen the border. She's fighting the flow of people and fentanyl coming across the border.
It's Tammy Baldwin I trust.
I trust.
I trust to help us keep Wisconsin safe.
I'm Tammy Baldwin running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Pat Kreitlow. Monday morning on Up North News Radio. The presidential race is now set and underway for the kind of 10-week ride we sure weren't expecting a month ago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, August 23rd, 2024. Have your host, James, with you today. And we are welcoming into the studio some really wonderful, fun people. We are looking forward to a new school year, and we're going to kick things off by talking with our good friend and new superintendent, or newish, I should say, superintendent of the Wisconsin Rapids Public School System, Ronald Rasmussen, is with us. Ron, thanks a lot for being here.
Good morning, James.
Always good to see you. Thanks for the time, sir. And thank you for bringing in some friends. We got some new people here with us in new positions. I want to let you guys go down the line. Introduce yourselves, and we'll get to know you after that. We'll start right on the end here.
Morning, James. Steve Thayer, new building principal at Howe Elementary.
Good to see you, Steve. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Terry Thomas. I'm the principal at Pitch Early Learning Center.
Thanks for being here, Terry. Nice Thanks. To meet you.
Good morning. My name is Rod Watson. I'm the new principal at Lincoln High School.
Rod, good to see you. Thanks a lot for being here. I should mention journalistically for integrity purposes, I am a Lincoln High School alum, so I am a little biased on that. No, I do appreciate you being here, Rod, and I appreciate the time from you guys. One of the things I like to do is get to know you a little bit more, let the audience get to know you guys a little bit more. So I will start with you, Steve. What tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to the position.
Sure. Well, one of the great things about me making this transition, James, is I'm not new to the district. So I've been in the district for 5 years, the last 5 years at Lincoln High School, serving as an AP there, and now get to make this transition to the elementary. Prior to that, I was a math teacher, so don't hold that against me, please. We have a great time. But I've been in education now for a while, and I just love being there alongside, making new connections with families, and getting to lay some great foundation work to help make kids successful and be prepared for middle school and puberty and high school and all those things. We're really looking forward to coming alongside families.
How is the shift going for you? This is something I actually wanted to pick your brain about sometime, Ron, as well. Going from the positions you had as a teacher and that to this position right now.
It's been great. It has always been what I've wanted to do for my career. And now moving to the younger side of things, really looking forward to getting involved sooner with families and being more of a support, as opposed to doing more of the troubleshooting stuff that Rod gets to do to be able to get those final pieces in place. And so it's really just kind of a shift of mindset and area of focus, and being able to get started rather than putting the bow on top and getting that celebratory thing at the end.
Very cool. And thank you for that, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Terry, how about you? Could you tell us a little about yourself?
Yeah, I actually have been in the district now for 25 years. Can you believe that?
Wow, I didn't realize that long. Wow.
I know.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. I have worked in many different roles, but recently I have been working at Pitch Early Learning Center, and the role that I had there was a student engagement facilitator, so working along students, staff, and families. And this year is just a little bit of a different shift. I'll still continue to work with the students, the staff, and the families, but as a principal role. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to bringing the families in. With it being a 4K school, an early learning school, we really only have our students for 1 or 2 years. So this is their first experience many times. There's a lot of nerves coming to school. It's their first time away from home sometimes. So we just really try to provide a nurturing environment, a play-based environment for the kids, so that when they come to school, they're having fun, they're learning through play, and just having a really good first experience with school.
How has the shift for you been going from your previous gig to this?
So far, it's been okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's only early. Been a couple. I've only been officially in the role for a couple of weeks now. So mm-hmm. a lot of the work I've been doing is just the onboarding with different trainings and getting ready for our staff to return, our professional development, reaching out to families through Parent Square, and getting everything set up on the front end so that when they do come for our open house next week or even for the first day of school, we're set to go.
And Terry, you know this better than I do, but it's so important for kids, those early days in school, those early learning sessions, how much that can set the path for them going forward.
Absolutely.
And falling in love with educating and falling mm-hmm. in love with learning. Mm-hmm. I was really lucky. I moved around a lot as a kid, but wherever I landed, I ended up being fortunate and having teachers that really sparked that interest in me and saw that's a kid that likes to learn and really highlighting that. Mm-hmm. I imagine that's part of the gig for you. That's doing that kind of work and working with kids like that and seeing that and enhancing that.
Right. We want it to be a place where kids come and they love to be there and they really feel like they are cared about and that their interests are considered and that they just enjoy their time there. Because at Pitch, they're really learning foundational skills, whether it's social skills, learning how to regulate their emotions, or with even the beginning academics. I mean, this is where we're really laying that foundation. And so we want it to be a really positive experience for them and for their families.
That's great stuff, Terry. Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Rod, how about you?
So this is the fourth stop in my educational journey. So I started here about a month ago, and I'm still trying to find all the bathrooms. Before this, I worked at Pittsville as the principal. Interviewing for this job was one of the craziest experiences of my life because I did it while I was in the field for the National Guard on my sergeant major's phone in a pile of poison oak. Going through that was quite an experience. Before that, I worked in Shawano as an associate principal and then down in the Chicago suburbs as a social studies teacher, which I'm still recovering from.
Right, I imagine. So. Yes. Yeah. First off, thank you for the service. Appreciate that, yes, sir. And one day, you and I are going to have a conversation about that interview because I got to hear more about
that. I'm still
that.
In shock about it.
I got like 20 follow-up questions to that one. That is awesome. Rod, how is it going for you adjusting to the new position?
I have now more staff members than I did students last year. And so it's a change in position, but also just in magnitude and trying to figure out the new systems and processes to make a school effective for that many students. You really have to reexamine your role and realize that you're working at a macro level and you're working with a team. And so fortunately, the team is outstanding. And so getting ready for the year has less to do with me trying to find the bathrooms, more with them telling me what needs to be done right now to make sure those kids can find their first class and get that locker opened and all those things. So it's going well. I'm learning enough every day to eventually be good at it.
Very cool. Very good to hear. All three of you, thank you. A plus is all around. Nice work. Nice work all around.
We got the grades here.
I grade on a curve, so keep that in mind. Ron, same question for you. How it's going with this new position, going from a principal at Lincoln to this job right here?
Yeah, it's actually been phenomenal. Obviously, I've been part of this community now entering my 13th year. So it's an exciting community. I think it's a community on a rebound and vibrant. I think the district is taking a lead in a lot of that and what we're trying to do within the community. We're excited as we kick off hopefully 4 new playgrounds next week, which I know last month when I was here, we talked about the playground at Meade. So we're going to have those new playgrounds hopefully up and running here in the future, just provide that social aspect for students with all parts of our community. It's been a little hectic. We have about a 26-member team that I operate, including assistant principals, and well over a third of us are new to the district or new in the positions. So we still have a few hires out there in the district as well, and so that's been a little hectic as we try to gear up to have our 800-plus staff members for WRPS show back on Monday morning. But overall, it's going really well.
Really good to hear that, sir. Really good to hear that. And one thing that you talk about that as my oldest is I'm going to be a papa. I'm going to be a grandpa. And I'm shoehorning that in. I wholeheartedly admit. But I'm just very excited about that and everything. But with that, you start thinking about when your little one was little and taking them to school and some of these things and the both excitement and nerves that can be a part of that. And I hear you guys all talk about this, and it sounds very similar to your first day of school. It sounds like a little bit like that, which can only make a kinship with the students and show a relatability that I think is really unique to not only the school systems, but to our area here. And you hit it on the head, I think, sir, Ron, when you said the excitement to this. You know, having we have great teachers. We've had great principals in this area. The people in these positions, including yourself, did a great job. We're rock stars, did awesome work. To be able to not only pick that mantle up, but put your own spin on it, be your own thing with this, is a really exciting thing for our kids in this community. I just even thinking about this, this is a very exciting, it's going to be a fun school year.
Yeah, so one of the excitements we've had is Terry has worked with a lot of our new colleagues over the last, we've had approximately 30 new teachers come into our community that we worked with this week. So what was pretty awesome yesterday is we had all our new teachers over at Lincoln High School yesterday, as well as Lincoln High School had their schedule pick up. And so we had the same freshmen trying to open their lockers and teaching teachers where to walk around, and they're all nervous. It doesn't matter what grade level you are, age level you are, you're all nervous. You're in new experiences, new areas. But to have that understanding that we're all here for a greater purpose of education and to help people learn and grow is it's an exciting time for students to come back and staff also to come back. And just that excitement that not only students see when they walk into the building and those nerves, but also that new staff and to see some of their passion in their subject areas or their curriculum focuses. Is really awesome to see.
Yeah. We're speaking with our superintendent and some of the principals of our Wisconsin Rapids Public School Systems. And Steve, is with how, what are some of the things you're looking forward to at Howe this year? And what are some of the events coming up? You have an open house, anything like that you want to tell us about?
Yeah, well, one of the events that we just kicked the school year off with happened earlier this week. This last Wednesday, we had popsicles with the principal.
Oh,
and
nice.
So we pulled a cooler out back and set up near the playground. And we had almost 100 elementary school kids come and meet me and introduce themselves. And it was a great first step for me. And even realizing some of the connections, the familial connections between some of my Howe kids and some of the families that I've already had a privilege of getting to know at the high school level. And so it was really neat to have that and to be able to then now welcome kids back this upcoming Wednesday, the 28th, from 3:30 to 5:30 at our open house. We're really, really looking forward to seeing kids back in the building and meeting their teachers, dropping their stuff off, and just really getting ready to start the school year off right.
That sounds exciting. And popsicles with the principal just gave me a great idea. Donuts with DJs.
Excellent. I am really there.
Good idea.
Maybe we can collab on that a little bit. You definitely can set up outside.
That's not far from
yes,
here.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I like that. That's great. Terry, how about for pitch? Some things you're looking forward to, your open house, anything like that?
Yep. We have our open house scheduled for next week on Wednesday from 3 to 5 at the school, and families can just come and meet their teachers, drop off supplies, and get acclimated to school. We are hoping, fingers crossed, that the new playground, will be finally approved, final inspection, so that our families can play on it, because we are already thinking about some kind of a ribbon cutting ceremony to thank the community for allowing this project to happen. However, we're not sure yet when that final inspection will be, and so we just have to wait until that all goes through and we can let our families and our students play on it.
So gotta be you and the staff, along with these kids, gotta be really excited to hit that playground.
Oh, it's yes, be we fun. Have been watching the progress since June. The day mm-hmm. after our students were done at pitch, they already started breaking ground, and all summer it's just been a great work in progress. We've been able to see it come together.
And that area has always had a good area for mm-hmm. playground equipment and everything. It feels like in going past it, I haven't been over there too closely, but going mm-hmm. past it almost every day, it seems like they've really made use of the space. Like they really spread it out well, and some really cool equipment over there.
Yes, and our playground is a little bit unique from the other elementary mm-hmm. schools. Because our school serves students that are 3, 4, and 5 years old, mm-hmm. we really tailored the equipment so that it would be mm-hmm. inclusive for all of our students. We have the pour and play rubberized ground so that our students that are in wheelchairs or strollers are able to get to the playground equipment along with ramps and just making it a very inclusive setting. And then you're right, James, there is a lot of green space as well for families or students to run around, and sometimes soccer teams practice there. So it is a really nice space right in the center of a residential neighborhood.
When we were growing up, all of us, it's not a knock at the past or anything like that. It's so easy to judge the past. That is not this at all. But I'm sure that all of us grew up and were around somebody or knew somebody with a disability possibly mm-hmm. that weren't able to do some of the things that mm-hmm. we and our friends were able to do. It's such a cool, unique day where that stuff is just, it's written in now. It's just a part of these things. I didn't even have to ask about that with the playground equipment and then different playgrounds that Ron you mentioned are being built around here. Mm-hmm. That's built into it. I think that's just so cool, and I don't want to normalize that. I want right. to highlight that whenever we can.
Yeah, and another great feature of our playground is we have a communication board, because we have quite a few students that are nonverbal. Mm-hmm. So when they are out with their peers, you know, it can be difficult for them sometimes to try to find a way to communicate with verbal peers. Mm-hmm. And so the communication board just has pictures and visuals, so that way when there's something that they want, whether they need to go in for a drink of water or they want to go on the swings or whatever the case is, they can point to the picture so that the adults or other kids are able to communicate with them. It's fantastic.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That hit me. That's yeah. beautiful. I didn't know about that. Yeah. That is really beautiful.
Well, you need
beautiful.
To stop by and see it.
I got it. Yes. I got to take a tour.
Yep.
And not for nothing. I mean, I'm horrible. I have a hard time communicating sometimes.
Right.
I mean, might be yes. used something like that. That is pretty mm-hmm. cool. Thank you for sharing that with us, Terry.
Yeah,
appreciate
absolutely.
That. Rob, how about for you over at Lincoln?
Yeah, so we also have schedule pickup and new student orientation next week. Most students already got their schedules, and most new students came through yesterday to be entertained by Mr. Thayer and the Link crew. But they come in from 3:30 to 7:30 for anybody who hasn't had a chance to come in yet. And then we have a new student and parent orientation meeting from 5:30 to 6:15. That's optional. So we find that as students, they've already been in secondary school, most of them, for a while, and so we don't make them come in. The transition from primary to secondary is far more challenging. And yeah. so, but if anybody has questions or wants to meet me or goes through the slideshow and that we've put on our website and wants to go in that more detail, we'll be in the auditorium from 5:30 to 6:15. And then on Saturday, I'm going to go into the school and open up the doors, and any parent member or community member wants to come in and meet me, since I'm new to the school, can come in and talk to me all day long. So I'll have that open up with that on Parent Square, so parents know what time that is.
Very cool. I can remember former principal Mr. Mancuso doing similar things like that and everything, and yeah. I think that's a great idea. It's always nice, and even, you know, to be blunt, even if nobody shows up, having the doors open means something.
Right.
I guarantee you people will show up.
Yeah.
But even if they didn't, I think that that's just, especially for a high school, and to be honest, one of our premier high schools and everything, it's important to be able to do those things and have a literal open door policy to people nowadays. That goes so much farther than I think we can put in the words. That's
yeah,
great, Rob.
Knowing that the principal of your school is available to talk to if yeah. you need them is important, and also it helps me, because I don't know mm-hmm. enough people yet to really get a finger in the pulse of what yeah. people are concerned about and what the education feels like to the students that are experiencing it. So I need to find a way to keep those conduits active. So that's what I'm hoping to do that day, and if we don't get a lot of people, I got lots of emails to do anyway, so we'll figure it out.
right on. I really got to say, I appreciate that every one of you, while you might be new in these positions, not only are coming in with plenty of experience and energy to this, but also an idea of, hey, we are here to listen. Like that is such a gift nowadays. And it's something that, again, growing up, you would think it was just kind of common and we just did that. But it's new. It's not new, but it's worth highlighting in this day and age that we have that.
Yeah, I think one thing I've heard from parents is that with all the safety features that schools have to have now, given the climate that we're in, and with the way COVID really separated us and kept more people out of the buildings, some people are feeling quite disconnected from their schools. Yeah. And they don't need to be. We certainly welcome community members to come in, but they don't always feel like that. And so we want to make sure that we say that as often as possible, that we, whenever we get our parents in for things, like, yes, we want to talk to you, we need that, you're welcome here. And so there's a little bit we have to shake off of what we've been through the last few years.
Yeah, a good point. Thank you for that. Ron, I wanted to talk with you about a little bit about Skyward. I know we wanted to touch on that.
Yeah. So we've made a transition. We've used Skyward now for many years within our school district. However, due to some security issues in our prior system, we've made a switch in our system to a former program in Skyward to a new program in Skyward. That transition has not gone as smoothly as we had hoped when you're transitioning, well over 6,000 accounts.
Wait, something technology?
Something technology did not go smoothly. I know, isn't that surprising? So we've been working with Skyward. Obviously, they're a great partner of ours, transitioning in that. We're one of the first schools, actually, I think we might be the first larger school district in the state to transition to their new product. So that's not gone as smoothly as we had hoped as an organization. All of our school buildings are now open, so if parents are still having issues trying to log in, trying to do their online enrollment verification, we just ask if they're having that to please contact their school building. There'll be some communication coming up from my office that may today at some point, Friday afternoon. In addition, if they do have prior bookmarks in Skyward bookmarked in their phone or their computer or tablet, those bookmarks are no longer going to work because they're for the old system. So we ask parents to log on to our website, wrps.org. You'll see the Skyward icon right at the top, and to use those new bookmarks for the new icon. That generally has been one of the major issues, is just prior bookmarks. You might need to clear your cache a little bit, or your cookies, or all that. I don't know. There won't be donuts, but it'll be cookies. Clear those out.
We'll take it.
That's one of the things. And the other part is that we've implemented a new communication system home to our parents called Parent Square. And what it is, it's actually a K-12 communication system. We've had different schools use different services, different sports teams, different clubs, activities. And parents only have so much screen size on their phone. So we had parents, you'd have 5, 6, 7 different apps for things that your kids were involved in. So we've now moved everything into the school district into one app called Parent Square. It's where all your school communication will come from, your communication from coaches, advisors. So we'll hopefully streamline that process as well and give parents that one-stop resource. So that link is on our website as well at wrps.org. You can go to the Google Store or the Apple Store and download Parent Square.
Not a parent alive doesn't love the idea of, I only have to make one stop, not eight.
Correct.
Like that seems like a great idea.
Correct.
Whether it's on your phone or in real life or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. So we're excited for that feature rolling out once again. Integration between Skyward and that, a few hiccups, but we're excited to have that simplified communication tool for parents moving into the upcoming school year.
And I think of too, my Nana used to have this phrase all the time: "You want to make God laugh, make plans." It is one of those things where we all, I think most people, especially in the community in this time of year, are certainly understanding that there are bugs to work out, there are kinks. This is all, a year from now, probably won't even be thinking about some of that stuff and everything.
So the one thing about making plans is the other thing that we get a lot of concerns about at this time of year is transportation, busing. With this is a little delayed because of the transition in the new system and making sure all our busing systems, everything integrate. We're hoping to have busing information posted in Skyward Family Access sometime on Monday. That communication will go out in Parent Square when it is live in Skyward Family Access. So parents obviously want to plan when their student's getting picked up, dropped off, etc. What bus route are they on? So that hopefully will be out in the Skyward Family Access on Monday, but that will be posted in Parent Square and on our website when it's done. And we'll also put that on our social media, our Facebook, our Twitter feed when those are posted.
I know in recent years, Ron, one of the things that has affected our school systems is needing bus drivers. How are we doing on that front?
Yeah, so I met with our bus drivers on Wednesday. We still need bus drivers for Safeway and Lamers. Mm-hmm. Are all looking for bus drivers to assist, and they have most of their school routes covered. It's also our after-school routes. It's just important for our kids to participate in activities if they have a basketball game or a soccer game or a field trip. Mm-hmm. So especially those trip drivers are needed as well. So you're a little bit more inconsistent, but you're doing those cool trips that you might be going to the planetarium or whatever. So we do need some of those drivers within Safeway or Lamers. So I'd encourage, if you're interested, to contact Safeway or Lamers.
Yeah, not only I've had friends do this, and not only a good job, but a very rewarding job. Mm-hmm. Not every one of us can necessarily be an educator. You are an integral part of that process to be able to help with that.
They're the first person a student sees in the morning in many aspects, and that starts that student's day off in a positive light. So excited about that. Thank our bus drivers. As I said, they are integral to our operation. Also want to throw a shout out to our custodial staff and our building and ground staff, because they work overtime in the summer to get our buildings ready, and they look spotless. So very happy for maintenance and custodial staff.
Excited for a new school year for all of our students and families out there, and even more excited after talking with all of you. Have a great start to the year. Enjoy yourselves. Don't be strangers. Doors always open for you and your schools and your students. And thank you again so much for the time. Appreciate all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Hey, kids, bedtime's 9 o'clock. Get ready for school.
It's a great remote note, Rod. It's a great note. Appreciate you all. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks. You can find out more about our public schools at WRPS.org. WRPS.org, and every one of these schools has an individual website and Facebook page. Encourage you to search those out, bookmark them, keep up to date on all the good things that is going on in our public school system. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week. We want to send a big thank you to the soul of this station, Pam Hilke. Nice job, Pam. We appreciate the work. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, is my guest host for the day. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gwyneth Paltrow, she has a company called Goop. You remember that project she sold? She found a way to bottle her the scent of her privates.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's a little pretentious. That's the last thing I would want to inflict on the population. Hey, everybody. Here's Pete's crotch. Line up. You can get it fresh here at the farmer's market, or you can buy it in aisle 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming.